all the hackers and the crackers. To the hackers and the crackers. I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, getting firewalled ho. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll school you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISOs? Let me do my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. You see, G, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones? And NASDAQ leaves you flat on your back? Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial codes, source codes, ISOs, RAMs, zip sits. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers.
This is Binary Revolution Radio, episode 74. I am Stank Dog. This is December 14th, 2004. And joining me, co-hosting the show tonight, is a good, longtime friend of ours, the one and only, we hope, Voodoo Hal. On location, actually.
Thank you.
Not exactly an interesting or useful location for the show, but an interesting location nonetheless. We are going to jump right into the housekeeping, if that's cool with you.
Works for me. And I'm going to go find a hooker.
Yeah, if you hear honking or anything in the background, you'll know. You might be able to GPS pinpoint exactly where Voodoo Hal. We should have made this a game. Somehow by tracking tracking the GPS on your cell phone to try to figure out. It'd be like Where's Waldo, except Where's Voodoo. All right, maybe not. Maybe I'm stretching. Anyway, yeah, let's jump into the housekeeping here. And let everybody know that because this is 74, I kind of was starting a little tradition of doing every 25th issue being something I call the telephonic craptacular, which is a bunch of funny phone recordings, telemarketer calls, interesting freak adventures, if you will, things like that that I've recorded. I'm going to try to put one together again next week, but I'll be honest with you, don't have a whole lot of material saved up. Since I've been on the Do Not Call list, it's helped a little bit, I have to say. I don't get as many telemarketer calls and people to make fun of. And switching over to Toasty VoIP Goodness, which we are using again this week, my number is kind of not out there yet. So I haven't really had the opportunity to play with the telemarketers, which is really a pastime of mine that I miss. But anyway, I am still going to try to put something out. I've got some other ideas in mind, some other recordings and calls to make. And I do have a few things already recorded, so we're going to put something together, I think, next week for that. Also in the housekeeping, I have been working a little bit on my personal site over at stankdawg.com. That's D-A-W-G, S-T-A-N-K-D-A-W-G.com. I just got tired looking at that same old site, and I was never really that happy with it to begin with, frankly. Geeklog content management system I was using before, and it was all right. It got the job done, but it wasn't anything special. It was another dime a dozen content management system, so not to disrespect it, but it just wasn't really, it just got boring for me, so I decided to switch out of the blue, so I just up and installed, Mambo right over top of it, so it's taken me a while to just get the thing configured and get some basic content up there, a welcome message and stuff like that. So that's up now at least. So go check that out, and I will slowly over time start adding some posts and some projects and articles, etc. to it. It's got an RSS feed built in, which is cool. So you can add that to your site and check it out if you want, or check out the RSS feed. And I guess that's about it. I'm going to make that from now on my official, not that anything I do is official pain in the ass, that's about it, but my official site for posting news and information now, in lieu of disappearing from the forums and kind of stepping back from from a lot of the drama and stuff. I'm just going to make this my site for posting new announcements and things like that. So probably might want, well, I shouldn't say probably. If you actually care, you might want to check the StankDog.com site out or add the feed if you want to see the latest news and announcements. And of course, I will update the BenRev.com pages with reflections of new progress and status reports as well. And unless you have any housekeeping.
None at all.
Nothing for you, huh?
That's why I'm the most boring guest host.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about all that. I mean, well, I won't drop anybody's names. I won't go there. We have, let's see. Oh, I'm sorry. Before we jump into the email, I should play the theme music. And our first email this week comes from Uncle Toxie. Uncle Toxie says, "Hey, Stank Dog," that's D-O-G, but that's all right, it's a common misspelling I see a lot. He calls me D-O-G, Stank Dog. "I wanted to comment on episode 72. First, I love the show and the mag. I just came across it after hearing the Hacker Radio panel from the Fifth Hope." Well, that's really cool. I love hearing that. That's our good friend Slip Mode that gave that presentation at the Fifth Hope. That's awesome. "You guys are doing a great job, and I can't wait for the next installment of Hack TV." Well, you're going to have to wait. I'll get to that in a second. Anywho, I'm sure that you have gotten a million messages about this already, but I couldn't resist the opportunity to shamelessly try and give you some good loving down by the fire." Hey, I never turn down good sweet loving down by the fire. "Microsoft did indeed make a telephone. It was the Microsoft MP900. I found someone trying to sell it on eBay." And he even gives a tiny URL of 5ACJX. Now, it might be sold or expired by the time you see that, but at least you'll see what it looks like. And actually, I added that in the show notes for last week anyway, so there was already a link to the Microsoft phone, I believe. Let's see, where was I? "You also asked about who the hell would want to play PlayStation 1 games on a PS2. Well, I do, and more often than not, my 3-year-old does too, which brings me to my next comment. I'm sorry to hear about the trouble that you've had. I agree with you about Sony pushing standards down our throat, but I have always been able to ignore that. I have owned and now own a plethora of Sony products. See, he threw me off by using the word plethora. See, that's not exactly a word that, I don't know if that may be a first. I don't know if we've ever had plethora and an email before on the show. So that kind of threw me off there. Kind of, all right, let me start over again. Let me do that sentence justice. Any sentence with the word plethora in it deserves my utmost attention. Hold on, let me try that again. "I have owned and now own a plethora of Sony products. Then again, I love Walmart too. I guess I should get out more. That 10% discount that we get, my wife works there, is just too sweet for my Scrooge ass to pass up. Again, keep up all the great work, and try to say, I'll say it. Try to say fuck a little more. I have to live I have to live vicariously through you. The first time my son said fuck, my wife went thermal, and well, let's just say I have to be a good fucking boy now. Shouts to all the DDP crew from Tejas." So, Texas represent Tejas. And,
fuck.
Yeah.
Fuck. Gotta keep the listeners happy.
Well, you know, and this is language is an ongoing issue to me. You know, I'm torn. I'm really torn. Like, I am not opposed to using these words, and people have heard me use them a lot. And I just like to have a reason for using them when I do. Reasons to me can be very vague, like reading an email. If I'm quoting the guy, sometimes I'll edit it on the fly, sometimes not. So quoting somebody, I'll use it to get my point across. When I have, like, occasionally I'll have a rant, in case you've ever noticed that about the show. Sometimes I'll just get angry and go off about something. It's kind of rare.
You rant? Never.
Yeah, it's kind of rare, but, you know, occasionally. Like, at least once an episode, probably. But I try to keep my language in control as much as possible. I really do. But even being funny, is the use of the word fuck to me. So if it's fucking funny to say fuck, I'll fucking say fuck all fucking day long. You know,
that's
humor.
That sounds just like the Smurfs.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I'll smurfing say smurf all smurfing day long. Oh, no, man. Are we going to start a trend with everybody saying smurfy now?
Well, I was just referring to the use of fuck in every other word, just like the Smurfs.
You know what? Maybe we should make that our ongoing joke. Every time we see the F word, let's use the word smurf instead. I don't know if I could do that, though. That's kind of a hard language change to make.
No.
Yeah, I'm. You know what? Screw you. I'm going to try it.
That would be fuck you, by the way.
I'm sorry, smurf you. Oh, that's smurfalicious.
Oh, God.
Oh, man, that's
funny.
That's
going to make the outpick show, huh?
Yeah, right? But seriously, you know, I try to control my language from just dropping it for no purpose whatsoever. That's the only thing I try to control. I still probably use it in just about every episode, and I know that alienates some listeners. But I'm not on public radio. Well, I guess I'm on public radio, kind of. I'm not on the airways, so I don't have those limitations, and I don't feel like I should be forced to abide by them. They don't apply to me, so smurf them, you know?
Speaking of fuck, I just drove all the way down our city's Martin Luther King Boulevard and have found no hookers.
You know, there's a Martin Luther King Boulevard in every single city in the United States of America.
Yes, there is.
Everywhere that I've ever lived, there's been a Martin Luther King Boulevard. Interesting.
It must be too cold for the hookers.
Yeah, what is the temperature up there?
It's like, I want to say about 32 degrees right now.
Good googly moogly, are you serious?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
It got down to 24 last night.
Man, you do need some sweet, sweet loving down by the fire. Keep you warm.
Apparently none of it's for sale.
Yeah, keep you warm. All right, well, you keep on the lookout, and I'll go on ahead to our... Oh, no, I also wanted to talk about the Sony thing. I want to put it to rest. I mean, I've gotten emails from people from both sides. The bottom line is I don't like Sony, the company, for the reasons that I've gone into. They are the Microsoft of hardware. That's what I believe. And you don't have to. A lot of people don't. A lot of people like Sony, and that's perfectly fine. And this gentleman is Uncle Toxie here is one of them. So I don't fault you for that. I think it's cool. If you really think they make good products and you can get over the fact that they run the company the way they do, then, you know, that's great. I'm not going to fault somebody for buying them. I'm just explaining why I don't. And I hope, I honestly do hope that more people agree with me. Maybe they didn't think about it that way before, but I'm not going to stand up on a soapbox and try to talk you out of buying it. I hope you don't, but I'm not going to, you know, if you do, I'm not going to start a big flame war over it. But yeah, a lot of people have written emails that agree with me. A lot of people have written emails that they don't care or that they do like Sony, and I just don't. So it's really I'm getting a lot more response from this topic than I thought, and I don't really understand why. I mean, it's such a silly thing that started off in an email, and it's not that important. It's really not that big a deal, but hey, if you like them, good for you. I don't like them. I also got a funny, this is a funny email I got from the obtruse one, about the irony of the fact that he was listening to our show, ranting on how much I hated Sony and their proprietary non-support for standards on his Sony MP3 player device. Obviously supporting the MP3 standard, so that was a good... I got to give points. That's a good story. That's ironic. That's good stuff right there.
And kids, don't forget to go pick up the Sony PSP when it comes out to watch Hack TV.
What's the PSP?
It's their new portable... It's going to be their new portable gaming machine.
Yeah, liked it the first time when it was called Nintendo DS. Skip the PSP. Is it going to play, never mind, I'm going to put it to bed, I'm just going to put it to bed, smurf it all. Next email this week is from, I'm going to go with Fallwire, F-A-L-W-Y-R, I'm going to go with Fallwire on this one. You want to take a guess? F-A-L-W-Y-R.
That's okay.
You're just going to leave me hung out to dry. If I get it wrong, I'm the one on the... See, this is like an ongoing game to me because...
All I'm going
to
say is fuck it. fuck it.
I don't think that's his handle. If so...
I'm just making the other guy happy, damn it.
Yeah, it'll... yeah, we're pleasing the one guy. I mean, some of these names are just so unique and so unpronounceable that it's like an ongoing game to me to try to figure it out. So pardon me if I butcher it. I'm trying. Email me and tell me if I screwed it up, and we'll correct it next time. Anyway, Fall Wire, I'm going with, says, Stank Dog, you mentioned Hotmail bumped the storage space up to 250 megabyte after Yahoo up to 100 megabyte. And, of course, both of those companies did that because Gmail came out with the beta with a gigabyte of space, so they were reacting, of course. Let's see, where was I? I noticed a few days ago that my Yahoo is now set at 250 megs. Figured it must be related, and if you already knew, then no harm in pointing it out. Actually, I did not know that. I went and checked my Yahoo account when I got this email, and sure enough, Yahoo has bumped their storage space up to 250 megs. So, they are actually, like I said, I think they've given up on trying to give people a gigabyte of email, like Google's doing. I think they realize that they don't really have to compete with them on simply how much space they have. I mean, would you choose, honestly, if you have those three options, let's not even put names on them. Let's just say product A, B, and C. And A and B offered 250 megs of space, and C offered 1 gigabyte of space. Is it really that much more attractive to have a gigabyte to you personally?
Yes, that's a lot more porn. I mean,
true.
No, not really. I could really care less. Couldn't really care less.
Yeah, I use my Yahoo account quite a bit and my Hotmail account. I'm trying to go away from it, like I said before, and I don't really use a lot of that space. So the 1 gigabyte, the only other use for that to me is file storage. So
I use my mojonetworks.net account, pimp.
Yeah. Hey, you're not the only one. I use your mojonetworks.net account too. Let's see. Where was I here? Okay, keep the shows coming. The content is enlightening, especially the gamer shows, but also the user warnings. I consider myself an average PC user that knows more than some and less than most serious computer operators. I have no involvement with, quote, information gathering, unquote, and I am without skill, so I don't understand much of what I hear, but will continue to listen. Hopefully learning more about what the craft is really about and better understanding rights, laws, and politics. Well, I don't know about the politics part. We try to minimize that as much as humanly possible, but I'm sure some slips in on occasion. Not tonight, to note. Tonight's going to be an all-tech topic for our main topic. But again, the Yahoo and Hotmail, to me, I was thinking about this. They don't have to compete with Gmail as far as space, because both Yahoo and both Yahoo and Hotmail, a.k.a. Passport, are both single sign-in systems. They're not trying to sell you on we're the one with the most storage space. That's Gmail's hook to set them apart. That's their carrot on a stick, if you will, to try to get you over, to offer you the highest space. What Yahoo and Microsoft Passport, which contains Hotmail, these are both single sign-in systems that give you not only email, but access to all of the other things that they have going on as well. Like, I don't know, fantasy sports on Yahoo, the My Yahoo custom page, Yahoo Alerts, Yahoo Groups, and same with Microsoft. They have, I don't know if it's called Microsoft Groups or Passport Groups or whatever it's called.
Is it obvious that you're more a Yahoo person?
Than...
I'm a Microsoft guy.
Yeah, well... I use them for what they are, you know. I bash Microsoft sometimes, but I use the Hotmail account. I mean, I guess that makes me a hypocrite a little bit. I don't...
No, not at all. I just thought it was funny that you named off all the Yahoo stuff in like half a second.
Oh, well, and I was getting to the Microsoft. They have groups as well. They have, obviously, the Hotmail account. They have games, which Yahoo has. They basically have everything that Yahoo has. They even just added recently... what do they call it? MySpaces or something? Or Yahoo? I'm sorry, Microsoft Spaces or something like that? I just got an email and just tried to set one up the other day, so I don't know much about that, but that's a new feature they've added. But all of it falls under that single sign-in along with the email. So they're hoping to sell you on the total package. And we did an episode on single sign-in a while back. I don't know the number offhand. If I was a good host, I would have looked it up ahead of time, but I'm not, so go check that one out. But they're trying to sell you on the fact that they're offering you a bunch of different services, including email. So as long as they keep up with each other, then they're not really thinking about competing so much with Gmail. So Yahoo, who was at 100, bumped up to 250 just to keep pace with Microsoft. Microsoft announced 250 a long time ago and never got around to doing it. So Yahoo jumped to 100. Yahoo stayed at 10, I think it was, or 2, or I forgot what they were at. And then finally jumped to 250, and now Yahoo jumps to 250 quickly thereafter. So they're just kind of staying together and selling the whole package. Do you have Yahoo accounts and or Passport accounts?
Not since we started the hosting. Realistically, I do use my MojoNetworks.net account solely now.
Yeah, and that is exactly what this person's referring to. Last week, I mentioned that I also am trying to get away from using the Hotmail account. A lot of my articles used the old Hotmail address on them and stuff like that because I had it, you know, somewhat an anonymous account. And I won't go into a tangent on how there's no such thing as an anonymous account anyway. I'm trying to do the same thing. I have full control of the mail server at stankdog.com, binrev.com, yada yada, unlimited space, you know, so it becomes a non-factor, a non-issue. Plus, I control the spam and all that kind of stuff, so I completely agree with what you're saying there.
I wouldn't say I control the spam.
Well, nobody controls...
It sounds like you're the spam kingpin.
Yeah, nobody controls spam. Nobody controls spam, there's no doubt about that, but... You know, you have options like, for example, changing the email if it gets spammed too bad. You know, I assume you're running Spam Assassin.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. So that's what I mean. Since Hotmail bumped up to 250, which has been about 2 weeks now, I was already getting quite a bit of spam, but I swear to you it's increased since they made that 250 bump. I think they sold the database of email addresses out. I'm suddenly getting a lot more than I used to. So, great, thanks.
I haven't used my Yahoo in quite a while, so every once in a while I'll go on and check it, but it's to the point that there's like 4,000 spam messages in there.
Yeah.
Weed through that, it's kind of pointless.
Absolutely. My Yahoo is so spammed, it's sick. It's just sick. But their spam filter, for the most part, catches it, at least, and puts it in a spam folder. So, quite a few still slips through, and I train it here and there, but... You know, for the most part, it catches a lot more than the Hotmail. The Hotmail account goes straight to the inbox. It does not filter them out properly. I've tried to go through the training process to mark them as spam and report it, and it doesn't help. Speaking of spam,
I do have to announce this. I saw one of the most creative ways to get spam through a spam filter the other day. I got this email that all it said was, enlarge your phallus.
All right. Can you forward that to me after the show, by the way?
Yeah.
I didn't
think you needed that.
Are you saying that the word phallus slipped through?
Right.
Because they use the scientific term instead of... I would actually
kind of creative.
I would have thought that would have been blocked too, actually. The word enlarge your would have triggered it, I would have thought. But I don't know, I'd have to look at the spam assassin breakdown to see how the points are assigned. But anyway, that's... Anyway, so let's see, did I cover this Fall Wire? And he mentioned about talking about gaming and things like that, so I have to also pimp our good friends over at Gamer Radio, C4, longtime friend of the show. I've been on their show at least once or twice, and I'd like to do some more, actually. I want to talk about the Nintendo DS I've been playing a lot. So make sure you go check them out at HWHQ, HurricaneWorldHeadquarters.com, HWHQ.com. Every week, gaming goodness from C4 and the crew. So definitely check them out. Also on Rant Radio, I believe Saturday or Sunday on the weekends. So definitely check them out for gaming stuff. All right, let's see. I'm going to do my David Letterman. Letter number 3 or 4 or 5, I lost track. This, let's see, email from, I'm going to go with Youch. Y-A-U-C-H. Youch. Or Youch? No, it's got to be Youch. Hey, Stank Dog and Voodoo Hal. Wow, he knew you were going to be on the show. That's pretty cool.
That's impressive.
A while back, actually, it was a replaceable parameter, and I just replaced the proper value in there as I read through. I was parsing. Yeah, I was parsing through it with my eyes as I kind of, you know what I mean? You smell what I'm cooking. That's a little in joke. Some people, listeners, got that. Some people probably didn't. Anyway, I parsed through that and made the proper replacement. Stank Dog and Voodoo Hal. A while ago, I was looking into different systems that offer free shell accounts, like HBX and the Death Row Cluster. I also found one for the AS400. Woot! You have to call them up and request an account. But other than that, it seems as though it's completely free. Do you know of any other sites offering free accounts on some of the older or more obscure OSs? For the record, I'm an American living in southern Germany. I know how you like the concept of international listeners. Keep up the leet work of helping us all to truly, quote, get it. All right. I know you probably aren't too excited about the free AS400 shell, but to me, that's elite. I think that's really, really cool. The URL for that is, let me find it, it is www.texas400.com, that's TEXAS400.com/default.html. And definitely, everybody, if you're interested in the 400, check this out. Sign up for it. I have not myself, but I assume this is valid and true. Go check it out and play around in the AS400. Again, you can download my presentation, which is, I think, a good primer on the AS400 to get you started and talk about how to, you know, do some basic navigation and then how to kind of poke around on it. So, what was that cough? Did you find a hooker?
No, unfortunately. I'm still looking.
That was just a 32-degree weather cough?
Yeah, that was my feet are fucking freezing. Notice how I fit the fucking in there? Yeah,
smurfing.
The only thing I want to know about the AS400 shells is the phone call. It doesn't have to involve, you know, my name's Bob from marketing and I've lost my ID, does it?
I do not know. I guess we will find out. One of our listeners, that is the interactive portion of the show. You guys try this, let us know what kind of luck you had and if you actually get on and use it and see what you think of it. Honestly, this is a great way to learn the system. It's such an, I won't say obscure system, but it's such a hard system to get training on. Somebody emailed me on a past episode about a school, and I think it was in Nevada. I think it was in Las Vegas or something, that taught AS400. It's the only one I'd ever heard of before. So this is really access to something that's very much in demand and in a lot of big heavy metal shops, but is very hard to get experience on. So the opportunity to have the shell is really a whole lot, in my mind, cooler than having a shell on any other box, because to me, having a Unix shell somewhere is a dime a dozen. Those aren't really all that rare, you know?
Well, speaking of, and I can't believe I forgot about this. I don't know if you may remember this, but it was probably last year I had announced that I had intentions of setting up a Cisco lab and opening it, having it free access to anyone who wanted it. I've finally gotten around to doing that. It's a small lab, but if you want experience on real Cisco hardware, I do have a lab available. The one warning I will give you is that I'm not giving out that many. I'm not giving that much access to people I really don't know. If you're active on the forums, you know, that's completely fine. But obviously, since it's using Minicom to connect over serial to these boxes, I can't really. You know, there's going to be a lot of conflict for time, so. That's available. If you need access to it, just email me.
And do you want to give out an email address or?
Stink dog? No.
If they can't figure out how to email you, they can't have the show. Oh, no, I did want to tell you one other thing about this email that he pointed out, and the fact that it's the foreign listeners, not foreign listeners, but listeners in other countries. That really is a big deal to me. That continually blows my mind. I mean, if you put it in perspective, I know it seems silly, especially when we get quite a lot more than I ever thought. We have a lot of international listeners, but that doesn't make it any less, I don't know, special. I don't want to make a big, I had a very special episode of Binary Revolution Radio, Stank Cries. It really is. It's really cool to me, as an American, in the United States of America, who doesn't get out much outside of the country. I've been all over the United States, well, the East Coast of the United States. And here I am, getting an email message from another American who's living in southern Germany, who found this little pissant radio show on the global interweb, downloaded it and listened to it, and emailed me. That is just mind. It just blows my mind. It really does. Do you realize how just elite that is? That could we? Could
they
this have been
be
done?
An international superstar.
Yeah. Could you? No. Could not that part of it. Could you imagine this 5 years ago?
Yeah.
I mean, 5 years
ago
is not very long ago. 5 years ago, 10 years ago. If it was not for, first of all, we all know the internet's all that, the global interweb. But even before the interweb, what are the chances I'd ever speak with anybody in Germany? Germans don't just randomly call my house and say, you know, whatever. And then when the internet first came up, yes, it's always been international insofar as that it's accessible to anyone with the proper equipment, but it was still regionalized. People from the United States, for the most part, communicated with other people from the United States, people from Europe with other people from Europe, etc., etc. And I've been in this system, in this game, since the beginning, and I've watched it evolve to the point now where you can be carrying on a complete conversation with someone from another culture, on another continent, in another language, and that's amazing! I stopped laughing! That is amazing! That really blows my mind, and I do appreciate all of our international email and international listeners. So, shouts globally to everybody out there listening. It's very cool.
I wasn't listening. I wasn't laughing at your moving moment. I was laughing at the different language thing.
That
sounded humorous.
Okay. Well, you know, we speak a different language. We speak Leet. With a little bit of
Never speak Leet. Damn it.
Leet with a little bit of vulgarity built in.
I thought that was part of the language.
Well, yeah, actually, you know what? That's a very valid point. But we won't go into that tangent either. That is a very valid point. Decoder, excuse me, sorry. Some people just have the word built into their vocabulary. Decoder, and it's just really hard to get certain words out of the vocabulary. Decoder, excuse me. Had a little cough there, I'm sorry. It's like probably 70-something here, so it's kind of chilly. You have to excuse me.
Oh, yeah, you might catch a cold there.
All right, another email this week from Jason. And yes, that's a real name, I guess. Dear Mr. Stank Dog, that's kind of cool. My friend Raymond and I were talking the other day and wondered how news groups work. Anyone can access them via their ISP. Google has access, and everything is synced. How the hell does the system work? We can understand how a BBS works, but news groups have us both baffled, as well as the admins that we've asked. It would be very interesting if you could do an episode on this subject. Well, Jason, my friend, this episode is for you. That is going to be our main topic in a few minutes. We're going to do a little bit of show and tell here, and then we'll get into that main topic. And again, it's appropriate that I'm going into my very special episode and reminiscing on the early days of the global interweb when it was still the global internews and not the global interweb. We didn't have the web back then. But anyway, we'll get to that in a minute. And one last email from OOB. Out of bounds? No. I went into this whole thing before about OOB. I didn't know if I should call him Oob, Boob, Boo. I don't know, you know. Okay, here's the official word from OOB himself. Hey Stank, I have never ever watched Dragon Ball Z in my entire life. What the hell is that guy about anyway? Thanks for ripping off my nick and reading my email in that order. I really don't know what my handle stands for, but I quite like Out of Bounds. Well, anyway, just to settle that, I love your show as always. OOB or whatever. So there you go, straight from the horse's mouth. There's no Dragon Ball Z. The listener said last week that it was a Dragon Ball Z thing, South Africa connection, something or other. I don't know. But OOB himself says it's just OOB. It's just that simple. Sometimes a cigar is just a cigar. Name that quote.
And other times it's what?
Other times it's a sexual toy, but I think that's only if you're president. Anyway, I digress. Show and tell portion of the show. And I'm going to keep mine super short because I'm actually ending the show. We have a big announcement to end the show today. And some people have probably got an idea what it is. I've dropped a few hints on the site and forums, etc. But in general, again, stankdog.com, I've kind of updated. But so many projects that are all coming to fruition right at the same time. We've got so many things that are going to be coming over the next couple months. Starting with one announcement tonight that is complete. We've got another one that's complete that's going to be announced here in the next couple months. Another one at the beginning of the year. Before that one, there's a lot of stuff that's about to drop. Stuff that I'm very proud of that we put a lot of time in, worked with a lot of people on. And I'm just going to announce them one by one when the time is right. So we'll hold off till the end of the show to announce the one for this week, which is our Christmas present to everyone, long overdue Christmas present to everyone. So that's all I'm going to talk about this week. How about you? It's been a while since you've been on the show. What kind of good stuff have you been working on?
Oh, again, this is why I'm the most boring guest host. No,
I know
much
you
at all. New job, mostly letting real life take over. Working on a few small projects here and there. Got to do a pen test the other day on our corporate network. That was fun.
Yeah, that went well, I heard.
Yeah, very well. Wait, which direction?
Yeah, right.
Went well for who?
Good as in good or bad as in good?
I'm confused now. But that's pretty much it. Working on a few scripts here and there. But nothing special at all.
You're doing some VoIP stuff, weren't you? Had you been tinkering?
I haven't really worked on it in a while after I got everything in place, but...
Well, you were setting up a redirector for me, a forwarder for me.
Oh, yeah.
At one point.
We'll talk about that one later.
All right. Well, that's good. Let's make this short and sweet and move on to talking about exactly what our friend Jason there had requested, and that is Usenet, or news groups, as he put it, which is... Let's call it what it is, and that is Usenet. It's more commonly referred to, which contains news groups. So, interchangeable for the most part, semantics. But Usenet is really the proper term if you want to do some Googling. Usenet.org, it's actually kind of interesting. I don't think that site is still up. I tried to go check it out to confirm a couple things for this episode, and it was not working. I was redirected to a resale site, so I don't know if they're down or how long they've been down. But you can do some searching on Usenet and find some of the RFCs, some of the standards and stuff like that. And we're going to talk about that because the standards for Usenet, let's see, what's the best what's the best way? How should we start this? We start off with like a little bit of history first?
Sure.
Yeah, because I kind of started it a minute ago. See, I did start using the Internet back in the 80s. A couple decades ago. What was that?
I was just going to make a before Christ comment, but I'll leave it.
Yeah, I was waiting for the age joke. That's why I hesitated to wait for the old guy joke. Yeah, two full decades ago, back in the 80s, late 80s, give me a little bit of credit, when I first started using the Internet, and everything that I did back then was, well, not everything, but most things were Usenet. Of course, Telnet, a little bit of email, but even that didn't really have a whole lot of need for it then, except communicating with people I met on Usenet or something like that. Mostly, I spent all day browsing news groups and reading and learning. And it really has just become one of the lost features of the Internet. It's right, I mean, just like Archie and Veronica, do you remember those, or is that also dating me?
You mean the comic book?
No, not the comic book, but the tools that were named for their comic book counterparts.
Not a clue.
No, okay. Well, they were some searching tools and browsing tools, I guess, for lack of a better term.
I remember Gopher.
Gopher, yeah. It was, yeah, a long time ago in a galaxy far... Well, not, no, actually in the same galaxy, I guess. But the web browser was not invented. And I know this, God, this really makes me sound old, but it's true. There was no web browser. When Mosaic 1 came out, it was just a whole new world. It was like the most exciting thing because everybody knew. I was in college, and all of my fellow students and I, the computer science, we were all just, we all knew right away that it was going to change the world. I mean, it was undoubtable when Mosaic first came out, and obviously it did. But before that was Usenet, and there still is Usenet right now, but it's just not what it used to be. So a little bit of history. First of all, yes, I would browse the news groups, and the first time, actually, that I had ever seen or saw, I don't know what the proper grammar is here, for Juarez, for our Spanish, our longtime listeners, we know we call it Juarez, or Wares, if you prefer, Juarez, that's my joke, was on Usenet. Back then, you saw, I won't say a lot of Wares, but that's where it first started, in my opinion, the first time I ever saw anything. And it wasn't always Wares, like copyright violations and stuff like that. It didn't start off always that. It was sharing files and sending binaries back and forth to each other. You know, projects that we were working on as students, you know, working with people at other universities, things like that. It was very much like email. And people, even to this day, don't understand when they send an attachment through email that it's not really, that there's an encoding and decoding process that takes place in that transaction. So back then it was the same way. You could send a binary, we'll call it attachment for lack of a better word, but basically if you had a binary file that you wanted to send to somebody, you couldn't upload binary files to Usenet. The NNTP protocol did not allow that. It was all text-based. So what you would do was have to take that file and you'd have to use good old-fashioned UU encode, which is Unix to Unix encoding. I don't know if I don't want to talk down too much. Is that too, should we assume people know UU encode?
I would think it would be a safe assumption. Okay. Hopefully.
Well, if you know what, no, I'll be simple. I'll explain everything. The UU encoding will take a binary file and convert it into an ASCII file. Now, it's going to be all gibberish. You know, you're not going to be able to read it. It's going to translate the characters, and I'm not going to go into a lesson on how many bits in a byte and how the binary files get translated into the ASCII code. But basically, you're putting this file with some header information and a footer information that tells the file how it was encoded, what it was encoded with. There were wars back then on UU encoded versus MIME encoding. I don't know if you remember, if you were around back then either.
No.
Oh,
I don't think
man.
I was born yet. No.
I am so old. You're killing me here. But anyway, what you ended up doing with that is turning your binary file into a text file for a short version, posting it up to Usenet, or emailing it to someone, which is still what happens to this day. And then on the other end, they would recognize from looking at the headers what kind of encoding you had used, and it was pretty standard that it was UU encode, UU decode, to get this back into a binary file. And that was where Wares first took off, and I truly believe this, Wares is what caused Usenet to blow up, for lack of a better, to use some slang, to increase its usage to phenomenal levels, and drove the growth of the Internet. It really was. Not only Wares, but Wares fell under a whole new group. Let me check the time here to make sure I'm not droning on. Okay, yeah, we got good time. Uh-oh. I have a call coming in, and that's a really bad radio, so I'm just going to talk right over the beep when it happens. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. The listeners, you're going to have to hear that beep for a couple of times because I'm not going to go over and answer Decoder's call. He should know that I'm recording the show anyway. Decoder, if you're listening to this episode of the show right now, episode 74... You just fuck-sword my show.
Aw, oh, come on, you should let him on.
Yeah, actually, I can three-way him now with my VoIP goodness.
Do it.
Nah, he already hung up now. That's all right. Anyway, where was I? Oh, okay, so Wares, which is one of the things that increased the growth of Usenet and the Internet in general, was under a hierarchy called Alt, for alternative is what it was called. And Alt was really the driving force behind Usenet as well. Usenet originally started with 8 categories, or nodes, I would call them, of topics. And there were topics like talk for general discussion and talking, obviously, SCI, SCI for science, REC for recreational things. It was basically like, I mean, you can almost think of it like a good old-fashioned corkboard, bulletin board, where people could go up and post, you know, hey, I need somebody to play racquetball with this weekend or whatever, and somebody will post under it, hey, I'm available, here's my cell number, call me, etc. And you'd post behind people. Well, obviously, when you're on the internet and you got a lot more than a couple people, you need a better way to do it and a technical solution, and that's what Usenet was. You could have lots of different posts and lots of different people replying to them, and they tried to keep them organized by putting them in subjects or topics, like science and recreation. So there really were categories like rec.baseball, where people would talk about baseball, whether it was their local teams, their college teams or high school, strategy discussions, players, coaches, etc., would go in there and discuss this kind of stuff. And it, you know, it's a very valid and very useful place for people to communicate about a topic that they had in common. And you could take those categories and break them down. For example, rec.baseball could be broken down subsequently into rec.baseball.chicagocubs, rec.baseball.newyorkyankeessuck, things like that. So you could break those down further and try to keep it organized, and that's what Usenet started off with, very, very good intentions, and then Alt came along. Now, Alt was great because in the 8 hierarchies and the 8 nodes that it came with, there was no place for hackers. There was no place for wares. There were no place for prawn. There was no place for anything. And you know, as soon as people found out you could put binaries on there by encoding them, out came the perbs, you know? So prawn is another thing that drove it. And they didn't have a place to put it.
Thank God for the interweb.
I've said all along that if it wasn't for porn, the internet would not be what it is today. Take that for what it is, good, bad, or indifferent. Porn drove the internet. It truly did. Porn drove Usenet. And under those alt hierarchies, there was a group called alt.binaries. There was a catch-all for anything binary-related. You usually put it there for, out of courtesy, instead of in the individual. Like in the rec.baseball.cubs, you wanted to put up a picture of, I don't know, back then, probably Andre Dawson. But you didn't put it in the rec news group. You go put it in the binaries, just out of courtesy. And the reason is because, since it was a binary file, it tended to be larger. And back then, we were on very slow dial-up. So when you connect and want to read messages that was mostly text and communication and talking, you didn't want to have to be forced to download this giant file. Well, the same thing happened with the alt, where they start breaking down these categories. You'd have alt.binaries.baseball pictures, alt.binary.photography.flowers, or whatever the, you know, whatever your choice of interest was. And inevitably, you had the alt.binaries.erotica, which is the nice way of saying prawn. And those news groups instantly became the most heavily trafficked areas of Usenet. It also became the place, Alt that is, where hackers started to hang out because we didn't fit in other categories, and alt.2600 came into being. Alt.hacker. Yeah.
The hacker's connection to porn.
Yeah, exactly. You could get all your hacking and porn in one place. And back then, because it was new, because it was people with common interests and using something the way it was intended to be used, life was good. Things were good, and there were some really, really brilliant people, a lot of great communication. You learned a lot. Articles were posted here, and this was post-BBS days. Well, actually, kind of in sequence, along the same times, there were still BBSs going on, but this was the onset of the death of the BBS. And I'm sure Jason Scott would probably agree with me on that. You would find tons of great text files, newsgroup posts, et cetera, out in these alt hacking groups. And yeah, prawn, out in the binaries group, some wares, music, anything you could imagine. It was everything and anything, and people were flocking to it like it was the like it was just a mecca. It was just a place where everybody was like, wow, this is collaborating with people on the internet in groups with common interests. This is the next stage in human evolution, communicating with no borders. But that was then. As it turns out, Usenet was the first casualty of the spam wars. And I'm just going to take just 10 seconds. I'm going to have a moment of silence for Usenet. All right, I don't know if that was 10, but I lost count.
I had to fight the urge to just yell porn as loudly as I could.
Yeah, I can't count to 10. It's difficult for me. But the problem with Usenet, unfortunately, is as great a tool as it was naive in its application. They assumed that the people using Usenet were good people who had the intention of collaborating, working with people, and using it as it was intended. And we all know that spammers are good-for-nothing, worthless, scum-of-the-earth bastards. And the spammers came in there, and again, it started with the prawn. They would start posting their prawn pictures out there with their website links all over it and stuff like that, and mixing it in with all the other posts that were out there. Now, it wasn't too awful bad in the beginning. It was, of course, nobody likes to spam, but they were at least keeping within the guidelines of posting it where it should be, in the alt.binaries.erotica or whatever. So it wasn't so bad, but then the competition became so great with all these spammers trying to drive people to their now burgeoning websites. And again, porn helped the internet grow and helped the World Wide Web grow. Competition got so strong that they stopped respecting the courtesy of Usenet and started posting in inappropriate places. They were posting the prawn pics, the prawn spam pics, in the baseball pictures news groups. Or not even in the alt binaries news groups at all, but in the rec.baseball or rec.whatever. So here you are, people that are trying to connect, and like, there was a comp, COMP, where you could have support for computers. There was one for almost every language you can imagine. There was comp.c++, where you could compare code and stuff like that. Now all of a sudden you've got these spammers sticking in ads for their website, pictures of prawn, which we're forced to download on dial-up because you can't really control a whole lot of it back then.
And the internet was slow with the Pony Express web, right?
Yeah, exactly. It was very hard when you had to, you know, go out there and draw your posts in the sand. And it just didn't really... It was pretty much you knew right away that it was not going to last. It was dead in the water by architecture. And we're going to talk about that in just a second, some of that architecture, which I think is really what they want to hear more of. And also, in my article, Pimp Pimp, I had an article in 2600, I don't know how long ago, a while back, called The History of Elite Speak. And there were some references in that article about how they tried, there were some attempts at filtering spam, and not only spam, but anything they considered unwanted. And hackers were considered unwanted back then, and how they tried to filter out keywords and filter out certain addresses. Well, we all know how easy it is to spoof addresses, especially back then, and spoof different IP addresses, spoof different email addresses, misspell words, which are the same tactics used in email spam today, slightly misspelling words, things like that. So go back and read that History of Elite Speak article, and maybe some of that will be a little bit more understandable now that you've heard some of the history. But again, on to some of the technical aspects of Usenet, which I think it really is what people are more interested in hearing. Usenet uses a protocol called NNTP. I'm going to focus on that one anyway. We could debate that there's other things, but back then it was NNTP. And the thing about NNTP, which of course is Net News Transfer Protocol, NNTP is very, very similar to SMTP, which, of course, Voodoo Hal, is the Send Mail Transfer Protocol. I think you just cut out on me right when I was talking, so... but SMTP, very similar to NNTP in the way that they work. As far as formatting of data and packets, etc. And this is also the same reason that many of your email clients also display news groups. So, because they're so similar, they're able to interpret the code the same way. The difference really is that an email is sent to one destination, one email address that gets routed around to that individual person. News groups are a decentralized system where when you make a post to a news group, you are submitting that post to whatever your local news server is. And many servers will carry many, many different groups. And there are a lot of groups. And each group, and I'm using the term group because it's common, but they're actually called news feeds, if you want to get technical, and then posts within those groups. So each one of these is uniquely identified. The servers, a Usenet server, an NNTP server, they all communicated with each other. And this is years before peer-to-peer and file sharing was ever thought of. This is a decentralized system from the get-go. The servers communicate with each other, obviously based on their settings. They can be customized, et cetera, et cetera. But I guess the most simple way to explain it is that each server had one, well, let's think of it as a big text file, a big database of all the posts that it is aware of. So if I post to my news server a new post that says, hey, does anybody know why Java sucks? And, of course, Voodoo Hal is up at his house, and he sees that post and thinks I'm a complete dick for posting that. And I post that, it goes to my news server. Now, my news server communicates with all the other news servers out there, and you can still set one up to this day. You can still get software to do that. But these news servers communicate with each other and basically compare files or compare databases to see, hey, do you have anything I don't have? Do you have anything I don't have? And they hand back and forth and synchronize with each other. And these, obviously, they're settings to control this. You can have them set up every minute, every hour, every 15 minutes, once a day, once a month, however often you want it to update. Because as you can imagine, as you get more and more users, the posts are more and more frequent, and you've got a lot of maintenance to do and a lot of big file size, and that became a factor as well. But because Usenet is growing and more people are posting, this became a constant process, constant ongoing thing, posts being made continuously, and these new posts have to be seen by the other servers to be picked up. So my new post is seen on my local news server. And not until my server and Voodoo Hal's server, we're making these up, of course, because Voodoo Hal didn't have the interweb on his play school computer back then. I got a young joke. You can give me the old jokes, but I get the young jokes, too.
Yeah, I'm still winning the
Yeah, I think I'm always going to lose that battle, but hey, whatever.
Younger mind.
Our two servers communicate, and his server says, hey, I've got five posts that you don't have. Why don't you get a copy of them? And it does that. And at the same time, mine will say, hey, I've got one new post from this guy who thinks Java sucks. Why don't you put it in your database? And because the threads are uniquely identified and the posts are uniquely identified, it knows exactly where in the database to put it or where in the text file, again, to say, to simplify, that's all it really was, a plain text file. And Voodoo Hal on his client end clicks the update button on his client and notices that some schmuck has posted a thing about how Java sucks. And that's the process. Fundamentally, that is the simplified process of how it works. And obviously, when he replies to that and says, oh, I don't know, Voodoo Hal, let me set you up for a free swing here, replies to my post with something witty like,
unfortunately, I can't be witty when I need to be.
Serviced
at the inopportune moment.
Serviced by a prostitute? No? Oh, okay.
No. Unfortunately.
All right. Keep trying. We're still on location. We're still out there trying to get this done. I can't believe somebody hasn't started a prawn radio show yet, actually. But anyway,
hey,
I digress.
I can handle that.
Yeah, back to the NNTP. Obviously, when you got this huge text file, this huge database, there are literally, the number of news groups is in the hundreds of thousands. Truly. It just grew to ridiculous proportions, and it's impossible to read all of them. So the server picks them all up, or as many as they've configured it to pick up. And you on the client end, you only subscribe to the ones that you apply to. So Voodoo Hal and I both subscribe to the Java news group for whatever reasons. And
in God's name, you would post Java sucks into a Java news group? I'll never know.
Because I'm, and that is the word. And I see people use this word today, and they don't know the origins of it. This is where the word troll came from. People would troll the news groups for the simple fact to be a complete dick. That's where the word troll comes from. They would troll, and that's a fishing term for those of you who might not know. Not fishing PH, but fishing like as in fly fishing in the river. You would troll for fish. You could troll for catfish. You can troll and drag your line along behind the boat, hoping that something bites. And that's what trolls would do. You think visually the green ugly monster troll, which also fits, but trolling to get people pissed off. So people like me, well, not me, but, okay, people like me, in this example anyway, I go into that news group. My whole point is just to piss somebody off. And Voodoo Hal took the bait. And that's where the flame wars came from. Flames came out of nowhere. Flames, the same thing that destroys forums, as we have seen, as much as we try to keep them in check. Back then was when flame wars originated. That's where the term flaming started, because people would get caught up by these trolls, started into a big argument, people get brave behind the keyboard and behind their screens, etc., etc., etc. But anyway, because of this giant file size, you had to break these up into readable portions and portions that people were interested in. Some people, I can't understand it, but some people didn't want to see the porn. I don't know why. I mean, they could have been abnormal. I can't explain why. But
that
some
also brings about the entire beauty of NNTV. Computers automatically transferring porn for you.
Oh, it's a
beauty. See the bonus thing? I got the new Paris Hilton video. Do you need it? Sure.
Yeah.
All completely automated and computing.
And you know, there was one really bad drawback, and I'm only going to throw this out there because, you know, it's part of the history, it's part of the facts. Another thing that killed news groups was legal, truly illegal content. And I'm not necessarily hacking and not necessarily wares, although a lot of wares would fall into that, but prawn. There was a lot of prawn back then that was not something you wanted to see. There still is today, I'm sure. But back then, when you have this unmoderated system where anybody could put it anywhere, yes, it became... Trolling by posting nasty text messages like Java sucks was one thing, but that wasn't good enough for people. They started posting, I'll just phrase it by saying, very bad prawn.
Weightlifter.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking more like, you know, dogs, cats, kids, whatever. And they would post them into your rec baseball news group. And that was highly inappropriate, and there wasn't much of a solution for it, because it was generally an unmoderated system. Now, they added moderation into it, but it was too late, though. It was the war was over. The war was lost. But anyway, yeah, downloading all this data is there, but you have to have a way to navigate and read it, and that's what a news reader or a news client would do. You could get a list of all the news groups from the server, just the names themselves. alt.binaries.prawn, alt.binaries.baseballpictures, alt.whatever your interest happened to be, and you could do, you know, browse through those topics that interested you by just subscribing to those groups. So let me see how long we have left in the show. I don't want to spend too long on this. Okay, I still got some good time. I'm going to... try to speed up through this because I still got a lot of stuff I wanted to talk about. This is a very big topic, and I lived through it. So I hope you guys, if I'm boring some of you, I apologize in advance. But your client, you don't want to subscribe to everything out there. There's too much data out there. We're talking gigabytes back then, which was a lot, terabytes now. And that's another thing that killed Usenet. Nobody had the space to run a server anymore. Those binaries started to add up. When software started to be released on CDs and you had 600 meg image files or zip files, multi-span zips and RARs, and ARCs and LZA, every compression you can imagine being used. People didn't have the storage space on the servers to carry them, so some of them don't carry alt groups. So anyway, that's a lot of extra history stuff, but again, the technical aspect, you need a client to be able to read all of those groups. So you subscribe to the ones that interest you, read them. Again, all was well with the world, everything was great, but because, again, it was like email, every post that you made could be traced, could be tracked. Just like an email, you can see the headers of your post. I can see, when Voodoo Hal would look at the post I described earlier, he would see that it was posted to this account, to this server, you probably from my email address. Back then we weren't as security minded, I'll be frank about that. You know, that's a big mistake in the early days of the internet. But a lot of it was spoofed, a lot of it was faked. But same thing holds true with email. So anyway, I won't even want to get into the possibility of spoofing, that's a whole different topic. But generally, like email, you could see where everything was coming from and track a lot of stuff back through the headers. So, if I haven't completely bored you to sleep, this leads to the next question. It's 32 degrees. You're not asleep. You're frozen. What if somebody wanted to write a newsgroup reader? It's not really as difficult as it might sound. It's not easy by any means, but if you have some programming knowledge, first of all, obviously you need to read the specs. You have to read about the NNTP standards. And again, I mentioned they're very similar to email. You just have to know what commands will do what on that server, and those are easily found. Find the RFCs, you can find that information somewhere. I'll try to find the link for the show notes. Like I said, Usenet.org is down, so... but standards...
And which RFC would that be, Mr. Singdog?
I should have done that research as well, shouldn't I have? Mr. Smartass.
I'll look it up, but my ass is freezing right now.
The standards exist. I mean, it would be difficult for me to start reading off the commands and gibberish on a radio show anyway. So if you really want to follow up on that, you can go out there and Google and find some of that information. But let's make up a simple example. You know, let's say, I don't know how many of the listeners might be available with the SMTP about the hello and receipt to and the commands, but basically... When you connect to the server, you will issue a command to the server. The server will interpret it and give you the results that it's programmed to return to you. So I'm going to make up an example and say that it's just the word get. Let's say that the way NNTP is set up, that all you have to do is send the word get space and then the name of the news group, and let's say rec.baseball. And then another keyword like headers. Or maybe an actual post number that you pass to it. There is some standard, and you just have to look it up. And when you write a client, you simply have to connect to that server, issue that command, the data will be returned to you, and you can display that on the screen. In the very fundamental, simplified terms, that is not all that difficult. Writing a mail client fundamentally is not that. Writing a good one is a whole different story altogether. With all of the threads out there and all of the posts that are out there, you have to figure out a way to organize them in a way that would make them useful. And that's the difficult part. But the actual connecting and getting of the data, when you click on the post, like when Voodoo Hal sees my post, he clicks the button and says, okay, the subject line looks interesting. It doesn't retrieve the text by default because, again, if it retrieves all the text and all the attachments, it's... You know, you might as well be running a server. It's downloading everything. You download the headers. You download the name of the groups that you're interested in and subscribe to them. And then you get a list of the headers that have been posted in that group. And then you click on that to get the actual body of the particular post that you want to read. So as long as you know that command, you send it to the server, you get that text back, and you display it on the screen. No different than reading to and from a local database or any other local server that you may be running. So if you already know how to do something like that, it's not a big transition to write a newsreader or anything else that communicates to a server like that. Is that oversimplifying, do you think?
Or is not that... at all, but also don't forget to use Java.
Yeah. I'm oversimplifying the description of it, but I do not want to lessen the... I don't want to talk it down like it's easy. It's not. But concept...
It's not necessarily easy. Most all plain text... protocols are fairly simple, and I think that was a great description of it.
Right. Yeah, there's you don't have to worry about any of the decrypting, encoding, decoding, etc. Although, some of the better news groups, back in the day, it was Forte. Not Forte Java for Java. But it was a Forte reader, free, let's see, Forte, there was Free Agent news reader. Gosh, there were several. Outlook Express had a built-in news reader more recently. And there are still tons of Linux readers, et cetera, so you can go check those out, too. But they have built-in ways that make it easier to browse and easier to download. And in today's day of higher bandwidth, that solved the problem of file size and data capacity. But you will still, to this day, quite frankly, find that there is still way too much data out there that even the largest servers that we have today can't hold the terabytes and terabytes and terabytes of information that's out there. So even if you go to a place like Google Groups, okay, and this is a good way to check out Usenet today. Google Groups. They basically are giving you a web interface, which is no different than just a normal Usenet client, newsreader client, whatever you want to call it. No different than writing one a local application on your system. It's just using a web interface. And all that Google is doing is behind the scenes interfacing with that same NNTP server, getting whatever it is you request it when you drill down through what news group you want, what post you want. But even Google, as big as they are, and offering 1 gigabyte of space, ironically, they do not hold the attachments in any of the binary news groups. Did you know that?
Not at all.
You go down to those binaries, and you can see the post itself in the header, but it'll say post removed. And the reason is, ironically, the disk space that it would take up. Because, see, what happened is, after a while, people gave up on Usenet because of the spam problem and the legal issues, etc. And a company, it was Deja News, I believe it was. DejaNews.com, later became Deja.com. They built a historical database of all of the Usenet postings that they could get their hands on. They took every server, all of the posts that were stored on that server that they could find, and put them into one big database that you could search on the web with a web interface. Long story short, Google bought them out, and that is what became Google Servers. Google took that historical database, combined it with the current state of Usenet, which again still exists. You can go out there and find open news servers still to this day and use a client to browse with them. Again, Microsoft Outlook if you feel so inclined or whatever. And Google posts to and from that just like any other client. So the easiest way, if I wanted to recommend somebody now, would be to simply use Google because you have historical back data as well as up-to-date data, but you don't get attachments. If you want binaries and you want the prawn and you want the Juarez and the MP3s and whatever else, find a real news server. And you can still find a lot of that stuff out there. It still exists, but boy, is it spammed all to hell. Really, I mean, it was destroyed. It was destroyed, and it's a shame. And I've said this before, now forums, web forums, have taken the place of what Usenet used to be. They're doing the same thing, threads, forums, posts, subposts, attachments, etc. However, they're modified and controlled. They can be modified and controlled. Not ours, by God, we all know that. Ours have gone straight to hell because of a few people, but actually they've gotten better lately since some people have cleared out. But that's neither here nor there. So forums operate very much like Usenet did in the day. It's just that forums are obviously an application solution built on top of, the World Wide Web, built on top of HTTP. It's all application-based solution instead of a protocol solution. So that is pretty much all I can say about Usenet. It's probably, like I said, bored everybody to tears far too much. But, again, you can go to Google and find just about anything you want content-wise, just not binaries. If you do want binaries, well, go to Google still, but search for free news servers or public news servers, publicly available. You know, Google a little bit. And you'll find some servers that carry a lot of that stuff. Some of those servers only carry, like, the, for example, a server in China might only carry the Chinese-spoken, Chinese-language groups. You know, it makes sense. It may be publicly available, but what good is it to me unless, I don't know, I guess there might be Chinese porn groups out there.
Oh, God.
Who knows? Hey, whatever you're into, you know? So, that's about it. I mean, it's a shame that we had such a great resource, so many good things that you could do with it, communicating. Like I said, so much that I learned, so much information shared on the hacking news groups back then and freely shared back and forth. Text files posted. BBS post, text files and stuff were nothing compared to the amount of data that was being spread back and forth over Usenet. You saw all of the text files from the BBSs as well as new stuff. So, as you can imagine, there was a lot of great information. People were working on projects, passing source code back and forth, plain text, or zipped up configuration files, zip files, whatever, and password protected things. I mean, it was a lot of good stuff, and I'm frankly sad to see it go.
And then the Revolutionary War occurred, and all was lost.
Yeah.
Too far back, my bad.
This is a sad episode of Binary Revolution Radio. Stank Dog is sad. Oh, but I guess
okay.
That's...
There's still porn out, trust me.
Well, yeah, there's no doubt. There's still plenty of porn for everybody. All the porn you can eat. It moved to the web. They just destroyed Usenet in its wake, that's all. But actually, that's not true. I don't want anybody to think that it's gone, dead, or forgotten. There's still people using it. There's still a lot of cool stuff. It's gotten a little bit better. Finally, the spammers have left because they don't think there's people still active on it, and it's not worth going to anymore. So some of the spammers have left, and they're only working on the web because there's so much bigger audience. It's not worth the time and hassle. So you can still go out there, and there's still a lot of great information out there. I know Lucky 225, I know he posts out there on occasion. Some of the freaking hacking groups are still out there. I almost said forums, but the hacking groups are out there. The hacking news feeds, I should say, whatever. So you can still go out there and search for some things and still learn and find some good information. But it's not the same as it used to be. All right, well, Mr. Voodoo Hal. All right, I've spoken the entire show. Now it's your turn. Go ahead, talk.
All right. Well, that's about it.
All right. That's
speaking
it.
Speaking of porn, time for the big announcement.
Oh, the big announcement, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
boy, I feel bad. I did.
2005 nude bin rev calendar should be available soon. Oh.
Starring yours truly as Mr. December. With my stocking filled. And the candy cane. Oh, never mind. That's just wrong. I didn't even mean to plant that visual in everybody's head. Actually, I did way too much talking on this episode. I completely talked you under the blanket on this one. Well, we'll do another one next time, and you'll do all the talking. How about that?
All right.
Oh yeah.
We'll do a Java episode. How about that?
Oh, that's so mean. Please don't make me do that. Actually,
wow,
look,
in one episode we've lost 99.7% of our listener base.
No,
that
I was going to say, actually, that probably would be a good topic, truthfully. A lot of people would probably like that. And I know I would learn a lot from it because my experience has not been good, as you're well aware. Maybe you could convince me. I'll ask some noob questions, and I think that would be a good... We're going to put that on our to-do list. All right, I'm taking my make-believe pen and writing on my make-believe pad, my make-believe to-do list. I already forgot about it. Not good. Maybe one day. Yeah, we do have our big announcement. Actually, let's do shouts. Let's do shouts first. I just have a couple quick ones to El Diablo and El Gato, to Rim, and to Black Ratchet again. Thanks for co-hosting with me, Black Ratchet. And Voodoo Hal, what do you got?
My shouts go out to the Salvation Army Santa Clauses.
Oh, man.
Ring your bells, my brothers. Ring your bells.
Ring it. Play that funky music, white boy. And email us, of course, radio@benrev.com. Oh, man, I should have picked some Christmas music to close this out. I really didn't think ahead for this issue. I was doing all my research on Usenet and typing up the notes for Usenet. I should have done some actual hosting. I should have done a proper job of managing the show, but oh well. Radio@benrev.com. Our closing music tonight is not anything remotely close to Christmas music. It's from Leroy Smokes. It's called Lo-Fi. And
it's a Christmas song.
Well, one announcement I'm going to say first is that I'm probably going to be taking some time off sometime towards the beginning of the year. January, February. I need a break. I need some time off. I've got some personal things to deal with that are really starting to weigh on me and catch up. So stay tuned for more details on that. I don't know if we're going on hiatus. I don't know if we're going to have others, people host it, which is what I would really like to do. If somebody could take over hosting for a month or two, that would be great. I'm going to try to work that out. But sometime in the beginning of 05, we are going to have to take a little bit of time off so I can take care of my business. However, I'm not going to end on that sad note. We're going to end on a very happy note, a long overdue happy note. Next week.
Shut up.
Next week, of course, I'm going to try to do the telephonic craptacular. But that is not the Christmas present. The Christmas present from us to you this year is finally to announce that DDP Hack Radio is ready for action. Really, this time. It is fully functional. The admin module is done, and I have to give huge shouts not only to Voodoo Hal, but also to Nick84. Between the two of these guys, got it set up. I'm blowing smoke up your ass. I don't care. Got this thing set up, configured, all the scripts written. Nick working on the admin side of things and helping tweak and customize some stuff here lately. Fantastic job. Within all of my, you know, I'm back here cracking the whip going, no, it has to be like this. No, we have to do that. And damn it, they just shoutcast, icedcast, everything we tried, they don't do what we need them to do. So we really had to write a complete in-house solution for this. And that's not as easy as it sounds. I'd rather write a news group reader. All right, no, I wouldn't, actually. Not in Java, anyway.
You knew that was coming, huh?
So that is our Christmas present to you. The website is updated by the time you read this with URL, the new playlist, whatever. So that's right on the front page now. The new playlist is there as you listen to this. And I have emailed all of our DJs and all the shows with their information on how to connect and stream and upload their shows. Give us a little time for them to get the hang of that as I work with them. Make sure everybody's on the same page as that. But you can take a look at the schedule on the radio.benrev.com. See how the schedule is right now. And, again, that's going to be a work in progress as we start finalizing who's still in, who's still out. I know some people might not still be able to do it, or some of the shows have disappeared since we started this project, and for that I truly apologize. But we now are up and running, so check that out, and that's going to do it for me, Stank Dog, and my partner in crime, Voodoo Hal. We're going to tell everybody that we will see them next year, same hack time.
Same hack channel.
Lo-fi world, it won't fly. Just try respect the most high. Whichever title he goes by. Don't cry when your lo-fi world, it won't fly. Just try respect the most high. Whichever title he goes by. Claiming who the ruler is, and some is ludicrous. I'm trying to the most high. Whichever title he goes by,
he goes by.
Don't cry when your lo-fi world it won't fly. Just try respect the most high. Whichever title he goes by. The best yet, instead of ink, I'm using bottles of Moet. Two dreams I slink, leaving MCs dead wet. By the way you think, you're the weakest link, and that's my best bet.